So, can anybody guess what we might be talking about today? Stronger, better together. How did you know that? We have a room full of prophets. So today we're going to look at something perhaps we don't always like to enjoy doing, but we're going to make it part of our lifestyle. And we're going to look at Isaiah 58. So we'll turn to Isaiah 58 and let's try and read that together. So this is God speaking to the prophet Isaiah, talking to the people of Israel who really are not in a good place. They are having this form of godliness on the outside. Have you met those people? But on the inside, they're far from God. And just before we read this, I just had something drop in my spirit today as I was praying earlier. Do you know, sometimes we can look at other people in church and we can think they're so much more spiritual than us. And actually, we aren't very spiritual. That we aren't as good as that person. I want to say to you right now, because I feel this is a word from God to you today, don't look at anybody else in the room. Well, you can, but don't compare yourself with anybody else in the room. You are you, and it's your journey with God, and what your relationship with God is the most important, not what anybody else's is, okay? So don't look at somebody else and go, oh, I wish I was like them. No, look to Jesus and go, I wish I was like Jesus. That's who you want to be like, okay? So, God gives this message to the prophet Isaiah to say these words. Shout it out loud, do not hold back, raise your voice like a trumpet, declare to my people their rebellion and to the house of Jacob their sins. Let me just say, I've not got a word of like this for you today. For day after day they seek me out, they seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you do not see it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you haven't noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarrelling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is it what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of the injustice and untie the cords of the yoke and set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. I love that. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Quite often he's done that for me. He's been so good. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and you will say, here am I. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing of the finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will shine in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. He will strengthen your frame and you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Would you stop there? At the end of April, we did a talk on prayer. Can anybody remember that talk on prayer? Must have been good. Then we had 4 days, do you remember, of mini-series and teaching on prayer. We had loads of people watch it, which was great. And you can look at those on our Facebook account or Oasis Redditch Facebook account or on our YouTube channel. If you're new today, you can subscribe to the YouTube channel and watch all the services. And we looked at that, and I want to remind ourselves of some quotes. John Wesley said these words: God does nothing but in answer to prayer. God does nothing but in answer to prayer. So prayer is important, do you think? Some of you do. Do you think prayer is important? Okay. William Temple says, when I pray, coincidences happen, and when I don't, they don't. Have you ever noticed that? I don't pray for something. I don't miss out because nothing happens. I don't expect anything if I don't pray, and therefore I'm not disappointed. But when I do pray, things happen. Coincidences or God instances or something like when I pray, I believe God's going to do something and he does something. So I want to say to you that prayer is key to survival for this church. I tell you, if we don't pray, the church will die. It's like water in a plant. You know, if you don't put water on your plants, what happens? They die. Prayer is key to the survival of our nation. Do you know that? Prayer is key to survival of your spiritual life and my spiritual life. But it's not just about prayer. There's more to life than prayer. So if today we want to be stronger, better together, it's not just about prayer, but it's also about this subject of fasting. Who loves to fast? You can see I do it every day. No. In Isaiah 58, we read of this hypocrisy of the people of Israel who have this form of godliness on the outside, but on the inside they are far from God. They have this hypocrisy of that they pretend they have a devotion to God and a love to God, but they don't. And God openly challenges. It's okay, Janet. That's 100 years in perdition. God openly challenges their ungodliness, their devotion to him. They pretend to be devoted to him, but God says, hang on a minute, we need to do something about this. This is not good. They have a wrong concept of fasting. They regularly fasted. They probably fasted more than we do, but they didn't have a godly lifestyle. It was almost like fasting became an idol in their life. Does that make sense? Things can become idols in our life if we don't do them with the right reason. So they fasted for show. It was all about me. And there was this external godliness, but inside, as God looks on the heart, he sees people that are far from him. And can I just say to us today, God's not interested on the external. Well, he is. But he's more interested in what's going on inside. And if we want to be stronger, better together, God is looking at what's happening on the inside right now. Last week you said, we're in. Do you remember? I'm in. Being in means that we're allowing God in for him to lead us. In verse 3, the Jews ask the question, why is it when we fast, you don't notice us by delivering us? And they have this attitude that, well, you know what? We fast, God answers our prayer. Whatever we want, what we need to do is just fast and God will do it. And they have this attitude that, well, God, I've fasted and you've not answered. What's going on, God? It's almost like God was obliged to answer their prayer because they've fasted. No. God's not obliged to answer any prayer because we fast. But if we fast with a godly lifestyle where we're trying to live our life for Jesus and follow him, now none of us will be perfect. We'll all make mistakes every day. But in our life, if we're coming to try and be like Jesus, to try and live that godly life with the help of the Holy Spirit, then God takes notice. It's almost like he goes, oh, I can hear you now. My ears aren't stopped because you are living the life as well as praying, as well as fasting. Isaiah 58 verse 3a, the end of it. And in fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your labourers. Wow. What do you do on your fast day? Do your own thing. What does it matter what I do? As long as I'm fasting, I can do what I like. And to heck with everybody else. Doesn't matter about other people. And so they do their own thing. They go. What do people like doing? Swimming, ice skating, fishing, David, football. They do their own thing on the day that's supposed to be fasting. And then the people that work for them, they make them work. a double way of doing things, isn't it? And God sees these people. They do other things as well. We'll look at those in a minute. It's not about seeking God. It's not about honouring him. The other thing that they used to do, according to the commentators, now I don't know this for sure, but a number of commentators say this, so I'm assuming that they're right. It's some of the Jewish people used to make up the books on the fast day. Tell you what we'll do. I'll find out all the people that owe me money, and I'll work out their bill, and I'll send the people that work for me to go and collect the money. So this isn't a time where they're seeking God's face, where they're seeking God, where they're praying, asking God to show them direction, bringing honour to his name. It was all about themselves. Do you see how far they'd come away from God? And you know, we can be so busy sometimes doing things for God that we don't have the time being with him, seeking his face, bringing honour to his name, asking for direction, asking him to show us how to help other people, to give us the way to do that. So God, before that, so they also used to have strife. They used to fight with each other. They used to argue with each other. And if they fasted, they thought that God would get their enemy, the person that they'd fallen out with. Sometimes they would fast so that the nation could go to war against other nations and they could get all the spoils of the war and they would be better off. And God doesn't hear that. But what God does do, he doesn't wipe them off the face of the earth. He doesn't destroy them and says, you useless people, you've done it again. God says, okay, you've asked me a question, why aren't I answering you? So I'm going to give you the answer. Now, if you ask God why, and it's okay to ask God why, do you know that? It's okay if you don't understand to say, God, I don't understand why. God gives the answer. Now, how many of us know that sometimes when God gives us the answer, it's not the answer that we want? We all want God to say, answer my prayer, Lord, and do it right now. Lord, God, give me patience and give it me immediately. That's why I wasn't a doctor. Didn't have any patience. But sometimes God is silent. But sometimes God says no. I don't mind if God says no. It's those times when it seems a little bit quiet. Have you ever had that? Is that just me? But God answers and tells the people, you will not fast as you do this day, 6 to 7, to make your voice heard on high. Is this not the fast I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and hide yourself from your own flesh. You see, fasting, you may disagree with me. This is a statement according to Robin Baker. You may have a different theological stand on this. This is what I believe. Fasting is never acceptable to God when it's not supported by a godly lifestyle. God doesn't accept that, in my opinion. And when we're ignoring the needs of other people around us. Why do you think the church is here today when you got saved? Why do you think he didn't take you home to be with him in heaven? Because there are people around us that need Jesus. He doesn't want us to be so religious and so spiritual that we live our godly life. Aren't I wonderful? And the people around us are going to hell, or they're struggling, and they have needs and concerns. He wants this church to care for each other, to provide the needs. You know, we've given over £4,500 out of our needs fund, where we've been able to help different people. It's probably more now. I've lost count a little bit. Thank you for everybody that generously have given for the needs of others. But it's the world outside as well that need Jesus and have needs. So I'm talking today about, when we're talking about fasting, it's fasting with a godly lifestyle, with looking at the needs of other people around us and ministering to them. That's the purpose of fasting. Now, you can fast for health reasons. Of course you can. Perhaps I need to do that a bit more. But when we're talking about our relationship with God, if we want God to hear and answer, it's walking the walk, not just talking the talk. And there's a lot of good people that can talk the talk. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I'm living for Jesus. Hallelujah. And then they get home and they're doing all kinds of things, watching all kinds of things, behaving in an appropriate way. And we don't want that. If we're going to be stronger, better together, it's the godly life, fasting together, praying together, and looking for the needs of others. So important if we're going to be stronger, better together. Isaiah 58, verse 8, then your light will break forth like the morning, your healing will spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. I love that. Don't you love that? Do you want to be protected from the back, from the enemy? Live a godly lifestyle, pray and fast regularly. Glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. That means those people want to get you, they'll try and attack you as cowards from behind. You know the enemy's a coward, don't you? Tries to take you out from behind because you don't think it's protected. Well, God protects those that live a godly life. I believe that. Then you shall call out and the Lord will answer. You will cry and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, the speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry, satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness and your darkness shall be as the noonday. So God promises that he'll hear. The type of fast he wants isn't just about not eating food. Does that make sense? It's about the godly lifestyle that reaches out to other people, that sets people free, releases people, where you share what you have with those who do not have. That is the kind of fast that God wants. He doesn't want us just to go without food. He wants us to live a life where the people around us, their needs are met. If we're going to be stronger, better together, then we've got to look out to the needs of other people too. That is so important. So to become stronger, better together, we need to understand the vital importance of fasting as, say the word as, we are living a godly life. The godly life is a prerequisite. We've talked so much in this, we want to be stronger, better together, how we behave as Christians. And we have to stop making excuses for our behaviour sometimes. We have to stop saying, well, it's okay, God will forgive me. And he does. But if we really want to be stronger, better together, how we behave is so important. It really is. So, as we live a godly life and we fast, a number of things happen. First of all, our relationship with God the Father deepens. It develops. When we're praying and fasting, we're focusing on him. We've got our eyes to where our help comes from. So we're focusing on him and we're hearing his voice. We're spending time, not doing our own things when we're fasting. We're spending time saying, God, I want more of you. God, you know what? I need to know you more. I need to know who you are. Would you reveal that to me? God, I need to know who I am. Would you reveal to me who I am? And you're lifting your hands to God. As we looked at this last time when we talked about prayer, we lift our hands to God, we're focusing on him, and we're allowing the Holy Spirit just to minister into our life. We're starting to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit starts to give us direction for our life. 28 years ago, when we were in the old building over there, I ended up looking after the church, which was for 2 years. Pastor had left. And we were assured by our headquarters there'll be a new pastor in a few weeks, 2 years later. But 18 months in, I knew, and God was so good to me. I was an elder, I wasn't a pastor. I was training as a minister, actually, starting my ministerial studies. And God would give me words for the church, but for my own life, like, whoa, God. Can you tell me, give me some direction for me? People come to church and ask me to pray for them and I'd have a word or I'd have something for them, but for me? And I waited, 6 months for God to answer me. So I thought, I need to do something. I need to fast. because this is so important. I want to hear from my young family, for my wife. What do you want me to do? Because I knew God had said, Robin, you won't be staying at Redditch. I said, God, if you want me to move, where do I go? And we had to pray and fast, and I prayed and fasted for quite a bit of time. And then God gave me direction for my life that I'd not heard before, for myself. And God said to me, Robin, what's going to happen is you're going to go to a church called King's Standing. There is a pastor there called John Bristow, and you're going to ring him up, and he's going to have you on the team. Now, I didn't know much about John. I didn't know much about that church at all. If I'd have known what I'd known, I'd have probably said, I ain't going there. To be honest, what we had to learn and what I had to learn there was like, I had to go to learn. I had to go to understand something of God's heart for broken people. And he gave me this. And the pastor, I rang him up. I said, I'm not sure about this. But I felt God gave me your name for us to come to the church and just to come part of your team. And I just don't understand it. Have I got this wrong, thinking I've got it wrong? Anyway, can I come down and see you? He got in his car. Was it the next day, Est? The next day, I think, he came in his car from King's Standing, senior pastor of this church. Come and talk to me. I told him what was on my heart. Within a few days, we were being interviewed by the church session. Within a few days, we were appointed to go to this church. And I knew it was right. I knew in my heart it was right. And people would say to me, what are you doing, Robin? You're taking your family to King's Standing. Why are you living here? They didn't want to go, but I had to go. And do you know why I had to go, apart from to learn? For other people. The prophetic words over mine and Esther's life was to go to a whole group of young people that were lost and needed Jesus. And I was to go and pastor them and to help them and to encourage them. And you know, through that faithfulness, do you know who got saved at the age of 7? Joshua? 6? Sorry, I do exaggerate. 6. And you know, because I answered that call and went, loads of young people got saved. Took them on mission. Took them into prisons in America where kids had killed them, killed parents, and they got saved. Took young people and they got saved and went on the streets of Dublin. And you know, one of the biggest mistakes I ever made, can I share that with you? We did this evangelistic event called Heaven Gates and Hell's Flames. And I knew children get saved, and the church leadership says, no, it's all about adults. And I'm like, okay then. But I knew in my heart it wasn't. Do you know who one of the first thing persons was to get saved at the age of 6? Guess. Joshua. And Joshua said to me, Dad, when you go to Dublin, we were planning to go on a mission on the streets in Dublin. Can I come with you? And I went, nah, Josh, you're too young. You're too young, Josh. And his face dropped. He fell in love with Jesus. Spirit of God hit me and said, you know what, you need to take him. I took him. And you know the people that listened to out of me and him on the streets of Dublin, guess who it was? He'd go up and say, can I tell you about Jesus? Can you take my book, my John book, leaflets? And they go, yeah, of course I can, mate. And this policeman walked up to me. Do you remember that? Do you remember that, Esther? The guard are the ones with the guns. And he walks up and he says, is this your son? I'm thinking, oh, God, I'm going to be arrested now. And he said, you should be proud of this little boy. You should be proud of him. I had to pray and fast to get direction for my life and the life of my family. And even though it wasn't what I wanted to hear, it's what I heard and it's what I did. And it wasn't just for my own family. And I thank God for that. Thank God that Lydia got blessed there, made some great friends. But it's about other people. So you understand, fasting is not just about us. It is about getting direction. If you need direction for your life, you need to fast. And we'll talk about how long you need to fast for in a bit. We'll fast forward. So, if we're honest, it's easier to watch the television than to pray. Was that an amen? And it's easier to pray than to pray and fast. Amen? But we are entering into a season where there's a church, we need to do both. This is a lifestyle. So let's go to the New Testament very quickly. I'm going to try and quickly move because of time. I know we've gone over today. Thank you. The Hebrew meaning for fasting means to cover the mouth, and the Greek meaning is to abstain from food when we look to the Old and New Testament. So, in the New Testament, there is an assumption that Jesus makes. Jesus makes this assumption that every believer, everyone that said, yes, I'm going to follow you, Jesus, Jesus makes this assumption that you will do this. And he makes that assumption because he does it, he's done it, and he sets the example. Now, before we look at this scripture, I want to say to you, there are times when people have prayed for something and a stronghold to be broken, and it's not been broken because there's no prayer and fasting with it. I'll give you an example. Disciples, before we come to this, the disciples, God just dropped this in my spirit, so I'm going to share it now. It wasn't in my sermon. The disciples come back and said, Jesus, we couldn't cast out demons like you could. We went to those people that were demon-possessed and we weren't able to deliver them. And Jesus says, in reply, this kind of thing needs prayer and fasting. And why was Jesus able to do this apart from that it was all powerful? Because he spent regular time in his life praying and fasting. Last time we looked, the disciples came and said, Jesus, teach us to pray. And now Jesus follows on from that prayer and teaches them prayer with this. He says, let's read it together. When? Stop. That's it. When? So without any deep theological words, it doesn't mean if. If you feel like it one day, if maybe you're having a good time and you're on the mountaintop, I might fast. Or maybe I might. Jesus says, when? When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to stop men, to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. What's their reward? The favour of man. Friends, if you want the favour of man, you enjoy it. Do you know whose favour I want? God's first. I do want man. Of course we do. God first. When? It's an assumption that Jesus makes. Matthew 9, verse 15. And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will. And then they will. Who's the bridegroom? Where is Jesus now? He's been taken from this earth. So the assumption is until he comes back, until he returns, then they will fast. So, it is a foregone conclusion by Jesus that we should fast. Jesus expects us to fast. Throughout the Bible, we find that is a lifestyle among those who follow God. Now, this is a season where we're rebuilding. Thank you for helping us rebuild. Thank you for those that faithfully serve here and help us. We are rebuilding after the pandemic, and this is good. This is a good thing because there's some things we aren't going to do which we used to do, which didn't work. But there are some things that we need to strengthen now. And that is a season of prayer and fasting. And Jane, myself and Sandra will bring some more little mini teachings as soon as we can get them done. And Martin and I can sit down and work on those together. But this is a time where regularly we will pray and fast. But you know, sometimes we will initiate the fast because we know there is a need or there's a stronghold that needs to be broken. And I'm glad this didn't happen to me, but I've got to be careful because it probably will. One of my team, years ago, we decided to do 3 days prayer and fasting. And we did a 24-hour praise. Do you remember the prayer and praise where we used to go all the way through the night and the next day? I'm one of those, you know, Jane. Stand up, Jane, for a minute. Jane. Thank you, Jane. Just so that you know who she is, because you're visiting today. We were in the other room here, the Reeves room, and it was at 3 o'clock in the morning. Jane had that slot. Well done, Jane. I was like pretending to be awake. I was like, Jane broke this anointing oil and shared at that time. And, you know, for days you could feel the presence of God in that room. People go and clean in there and lie on the floor in the Reeves room. The presence of God came. I don't know why I'm saying this now. Oh, yes. So, one of the team, we agreed to fast for 3 days. God, it was hard. And then we're sitting in a room, and I'm saying, I'm glad God didn't say, but I had a word for her. It was great. So, it was a lady, you can guess that. And I said, you know, I think God wants you to fast a bit longer. She went, how long? I said, 40 days. What? I said, yeah, you'll be all right. She did. She said, I'm gonna go for it. She fasted for 40 days. Now, I'm not saying we're going to go into that, but what I'm saying this is when you seek God in this season, you may choose to fast for a day. But God may say to you, do you know what? I want you to stay a bit longer with me. We'll talk about what you need to do when you're fasting and how important it is to keep your life. But if the children need to come back, they can come back. Okay, don't worry, they can come back whenever. Okay, I am nearly finished. But God might ask you to fast longer than you initially think for, but he'll give you the strength to do it. I'm going to talk about what you need to do to prepare for a fast before we do that. So God has made it quite clear that not all fasting is acceptable. Fasting is not, say is not, to manipulate God to get your own way. You can do that as much as you like, and he won't be attentive to your prayers. You can't manipulate God. If I fast long enough, maybe I can get God to do what I want him to do. You cannot blackmail God. Okay, he's God. You can make an agreement with him. God, I will serve you if you'll do this. You can say, you can't blackmail him to do anything. Fasting does not earn you brownie points. Natasha, you run scouts, guides, brownies. You don't get brownie points with God if you fast. So if Tony fasts for twice this year and David fasts once, Tony doesn't get more brownie points than Dave. Fasting will not make God love us any more than he does already. Sometimes I've known people, they feel bad about themselves and so they fast because they hope God will love them more. No, God loves you. Exactly the same with you fast or not. Does that make sense? So don't do it to make God love you more. Fasting is not an end in itself. We don't fast for the sake of it. We're coming into land. But fasting combined with prayer, with a godly lifestyle, does get God's attention and shows us that we are serious. I want to remind ourselves today that we can be stronger. We can never be stronger than when we utterly depend on God's strength. Throwing ourselves onto God is not a sense of weakness. It's our strength. Utterly depending upon him is our strength. And some of you that are new Christians today and you're thinking you're part of your journey, the best thing you can do every day is throw yourself on God. Totally rely on him. Be utterly dependent on him. Don't be dependent on me. Don't be dependent on Pastor Emmanuel or Pastor Josh. Be dependent upon God. Throw yourself upon him and you'll be stronger than ever. And so as we finish now, musicians, if you could come. God makes a promise to the people of Israel. If they do listen, if they do live a godly lifestyle, if they do meet the needs of others, if they obey what he says, then he will ask them to do. And I want us to finish with this scripture. I want you to write this scripture down. And I want you to take it as a scripture that God is speaking to us so that we'll be stronger, better together. We're going to read it together. If you live a godly lifestyle, if you've got a heart after God to do the right thing, this is a promise from God. His promises are yes and amen. God does not change his mind. The Lord, let's read it together, will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden like a spring whose waters never fail. Who wants to be like that? Who wants to be full of life, full of energy, full of God? Can we put that back up, Bernie? He will strengthen your frame. He'll take you through anything. And your life will be like a living spring. Who wants to be like that? I said last week, are you in? Well, we're going to start by doing some more practical things as we seek God's face for the future.